Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're looking at 1 John and we're discovering what he wants you to know. As I look through, I've done something that I learned from Dr. Kober. You probably can't see it if I were to hold it up, but there's words that are darker than others. He taught us that one way that you can highlight your Bible, as long as you have the right kind of paper and right kind of pen, is that you can kind of highlight the words. And I find in chapter 2, starting right there, it says, we know, I know, we know, does not know. Right there, let's see, we go in verse 13, it says, have known. All the way down to 18, we know, you know, do not know, you know, I have written that you might know. John wants you to know something. This morning we looked and we saw that we need to know that we need to walk in the light, to walk in the light as God is the light, and we need to walk in His way. As believers, He is writing to believers, He's telling us, look, your lives should reflect that of God. God is light, He is pure, He reveals sin. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. Men rather live in darkness because their deeds are evil. We don't like when we're told, you have done something wrong, do we? We usually are offended. Who are you to say? Even if they don't say you've done it wrong, those exact words, just to imply that there's a better way to do it, or the what you are doing in your life is wrong, it automatically puts up the defense system, the missile defense system that you have. That personal missile defense system that says, you come any closer, I'll blow you to pieces. We look at God's Word, and we see that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That one another could very well be between God and us. I say that because that is the context. He says a little in verse 6 that if we say we have fellowship with Him, is not talking about other people here, although it certainly is true that when we're walking with God, that we are walking in fellowship with other believers. He says that the blood, when we're walking in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. You know, when restoring fellowship with God, there has to be cleansing of sin. Sometimes our fellowship is broken. Not our relationship as a child of God, but our fellowship with Him. Again, if my kids do what they're told not to do, I don't kick them out of the house and say, I never want to see you again, as far as you know. But what I do is you're not happy with them, so they come up and ask for something. You're like, I don't think so. You've yet to apologize. We're really mean parents. We make them apologize to each other if that's necessary, or or to us. I remember when I was a kid, my mom was really mean when we were little kids. I don't know if quite Xander's age, at least Ethan's age and younger. I have to kiss and make up with my brother. I didn't say kiss and make out. Kiss and make up with my brother. Do you know what that's like? That means you have to show that you like him. That was really tough. The lesson to learn was, when you do something wrong, you make it right. When we disobey God, we have to make things right. Well, in order to do that, in order to walk in God's light, we need to do so by abandoning spiritual pride. You see on the screen there, the proud peacock. And he's up there showing off his feathers because he's a proud individual to show off to all the girls. He's an available bachelor. The best looking one. We need to abandon spiritual pride. In verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God to be a liar and his word is not in us. It's so easy to become spiritually proud. It's so easy for us to say, I'm in good shape with God. We had communion before the service this morning, this evening. And when we do that, we come and must humble ourselves and make sure our hearts are right with God. We do that because Paul says for us to do that. To make sure when we're participating, we're participating as believers, as ones who are walking in the light. We're living righteously. Not perfectly, but righteously. It's not difficult for us, if we're the right kind of individual, to come to the table with the perception that, hey, I'm a good person. As a believer, I haven't beat the kids, I haven't shot the neighbor's dog, and I didn't do anything too terrible to my employer this week. Therefore, I must be in pretty good standing with God. We need to be careful about those kinds of things. That could be a matter of spiritual pride. Sometimes when confronted with God's word, we sit here and you sit there and you may think to yourself, I'm glad so-and-so is here. Without considering ourselves, where do I fit in? Is it at all possible that I have spiritual pride? Is it at all possible that there's sin in my life that I am not getting right with God? Well, that's impossible because we all know how good I am, right? We need to be very careful about that. The fact is, you will always be tempted. You may be tempted about different things as you progress in your spiritual life. As a newborn Christian, having recently placed your faith in Jesus Christ, some of the things that you used to do may be a temptation. And there are temptations that you fight against. You may fight against them your entire life. You may get really good at it. And to the point that those sort of things don't tempt you anymore. But guess what? That doesn't mean Satan gives up. He's still looking to bring you down. What better way to destroy your, to keep another person from being a Christian than to destroy your testimony? I've heard the testimony of a few different unbelievers. There's no way they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They knew a Christian at their work. And that Christian was the laziest, most cheating person there. And there's no way, if that's what a Christian is, they don't want to be one. Satan had gotten into that person's life, and whether or not they had spiritual pride, it destroyed their testimony. God, or Satan does not want you to walk in God's light, to live a righteous life. Instead, he wants to pull you down. He could do that by either bringing up a different temptation or What about causing you that great, that holier than thou pride? He can do that as well. Never think that you are not vulnerable to sin. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, he says, those that are spiritual, those Christians who are mature in the faith, they know God's word well. They reflect that in their own life as they have a character of a person who loves the Lord. He says, you restore fellow believers that have fallen into temptation and sin, but watch yourself closely. Be very careful. Why? Because lest you yourself be tempted. We can never go into any situation thinking we will never be tempted. It is not only a good idea for the sake of when others see what you're doing, to have accountability. For example, if we have the offering is put in the offering box. There's always two people that count it. Why do we have two people count it? Because even though they're trustworthy, doesn't mean that Satan can't go in and say, you know what, see that $20 bill? Who knows it's not going into the bank? So we have two people do it. For the sake of even destroying the accusation of such a thing. It's a good practice. That's why we do it. We can trust those people who count it to do it by themselves. But there's always the possibility of temptation. When you are out and about, you try to make sure the things that you do not put yourself into a bad situation where you might be tempted or a situation may, even from the outside, look bad. Why? Because you want to hold that testimony. Satan wants to get you to fall. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read that Satan is like a roaring lion, wandering about, seeking whom he may devour. Not unbelievers, believers is who he's talking about there. Satan will use what occasion he can. And I find it interesting as I observe what's going on in people's lives. I have seen few people in various situations and churches and whatnot that they get saved and they kind of get things really going for God. They're gung-ho for Jesus. And as things they seem to get more devoted to God, more comfortable in their Christianity, and they're serving well, and kind of you see them, kind of their growth kind of escalate very quickly. What happens at a point is spiritual pride, perhaps. All of a sudden, there's a decline in what's going on in their life. Satan wants to use every opportunity he can to destroy your relationship with God. He cannot get you unsaved, but he can destroy your fellowship with God. We must be on guard. Be careful of spiritual pride. Always be ready to observe your own sinfulness and confess it before God. We need to walk in God's light by abandoning spiritual pride, but we also walk in God's light by confessing sin. By confessing our sins. When we, to avoid spiritual pride, we take and evaluate our own life compared to God's word. No, we're not the mass murderers. No, we're not the bank robbers. We're not the people that hold others at gunpoint and steal their car. We don't use other people's credit cards. Unless it's our spouses, that doesn't count. We don't do those things. Why? Because we're good people. How often have you looked at, especially the Old Testament, and you've seen the events that take place by faith? Would you have the faith to trust God in the same situations? Do you imagine you're a leader of a group and you're going up to a walled city? We don't have walled cities anymore. But let's pretend that Lincoln, no, we're going to do it over Council Bluffs. We're going on the wrong side of the river there. Council Bluffs has this great wall around them. And God wants us to save those heathens over there on the other side. And you've heard about how they are. Do you think that you would have the faith to obey God to do something so impossible as to go over the river and invade Council Bluffs? When you look at those stories and then compare them with your own life, we might have to confess, God, I'm sorry for not trusting you like I should. You see that? Confessing of sins is not merely what I do that's wrong, but what am I neglecting that's wrong? Forgive me for not serving you the way I should, for not listening to you. And when I read the book of Acts and I see that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the individuals there, I have to ask myself, am I so sensitive to God's Holy Spirit that I'm listening? Do I have to confess to God, I'm sorry, I don't listen to you the way I should? We need to be ready always to confess our sins. We need to confess before God the things that we've done, not to other people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to come to me to confess our sins. Even though confessing your sins may make you feel less guilty, when you talk to a friend or a psychobabblist or whatever they are, it might make you feel better, but what can they do about it? Maybe they give you advice, that's one thing. Hopefully that advice is, well, if you just watch TV, help you forget about your troubles. But if it's advice like, well, I think you need to make things right with that other person, or need to make things right with God. That's a good thing. They give you advice, but they can't forgive you. We find in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, when we come before God and we want to give Him a gift. I hope you see when you put something in the offering plate, in the offering box, that you view it as a gift to honor God. I hope that when you come and sing praises, that you view it as a way you can honor and bring your praise and gift from your voice to God, however it may be wrapped. I hope that when you come and help in Vacation Bible School, Awana's around the corner, I know all of you are excited to get involved with it, with whatever is happening, that you view it as a gift before God. As you bring your gift before God and you see, it comes to your mind, you know what? Things aren't right between me and my wife, or me and the kids, or me and my coworkers, or me and the neighbor. God says, Jesus says, leave it there. Don't even take it back with you. Leave your gift right there and go make it right. Then come and offer that gift. We need to make sure that we are confessing our sins before God, making things right with Him or with other people if we need to do that. Says here in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to also see that you need to revel in God's forgiveness. There's two extremes that often happens. One extreme is, I am a very spiritual person. I am the type of person that hardly ever sins. And then there's the other person that constantly feels guilt. When I express to you that we should not be spiritually proud, don't have in your mind you should be spiritually depressed. I'm a no good sinner, good for nothing. How can God love me? Because we can do that, can't we? It's not hard. Think of it this way. If you're the kind of person, for some of you, it's easy to think this way, but based on your personality. For others, it may be more difficult. The boss comes to work beside you. And now you're nervous as all get out. Right? Am I doing it right? Am I going to get yelled at? He's coming this way. What did I do wrong? And so then you're there working with complete guilt, maybe not even focusing on what you're doing. God is right here with you. He's present with you. We discovered He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there. He knows what you did. We had a dog named Mutt. Well, I called it Mutt. Mom called it Dolly, and Gail called it Seatbelt. That's because it'd eat the seatbelts. This Mutt, which is all it was, we had got it trained, so when we come in the house, all I would do is I'd look at it and say, did you do that? And that dog was so sorrowful. I mean, the expression on its face, it would bow its head, and it would be the most guilt-ridden dog. I hadn't a clue what the dog did, but it was one guilty dog. And it's, I'm just playing with you, and then it'd perk up. Sometimes we're that way. We constantly feel guilty. This verse here is something for you to know. This is a verse to know. It's not a verse to feel. Forgiveness is not felt. Forgiveness is done. Understand that. There's no reason, unless you are guilty, there's no reason to constantly feel inadequate and guilty before God unless you are spiritually proud and not confessing your sins. However, when you confess your sins, it says here that three things, that He is faithful. Well, it says that God is faithful, it means every time He'll do it. Every single time. Listening to Adventure and Odyssey, an old Adventure and Odyssey, there is a BTV episode of forgiveness. And this scene is a boy and a girl, and the boy pulls her hair and says, I'm sorry, and she says, I forgive you. And he immediately pulls her hair again, and he says, I'm sorry, and she says, I forgive you. 7 times! For the exact same thing, right in a row, she forgives him. And it was used as an illustration that we are to forgive, even for the same offense, over and over. God is faithful. And He is faithful so that He will forgive you even for the exact same sins. That's good to know. Let me ask you this question. You don't have to admit it. I already know. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness for the exact same thing you did either earlier in the day or the day before? Yeah, you have. Did He forgive you? No, of course not. You get one shot. After that, you're done. He is faithful. Every time He will forgive, even for the same thing. That girl at the end is asked by a commentator on the radio program, wow, that's amazing. You forgave him 7 times. And she says, yeah, it wasn't that hard. I think he does it because he likes me. I like him too. And he's like, oh no! We need to walk in God's light by confessing our sins. Going before God saying, God, I'm sorry. And then, you know what to do? Stop the guilt. Stop the feeling of guilt. Say to yourself, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Have I confessed my sin? Yes. Has He forgiven me? He is faithful to forgive you of your sins. He's just to forgive you of your sins. He has the authority to do it. And so He can, and He will. And what does He do? He cleanses from most of the bad things you do. No, all unrighteousness. All the sins, as David says, the things I did not intend to do. Forgive me for my faults. Even the ones that he can't bring to mind. How often do we sin without thinking, because it's a habit? Or because we don't even recognize what we've done is sin. And yet God is so gracious that He cleans from all unrighteousness. I have a great mock USA soccer shirt. I like it because as a number 10. And the year that they got it for me is when Landon Donovan, for the US team during the World Cup, he wore the number 10, and he did an excellent job and kept us in another round before we got blasted. But he was like an MVP for that game. So I really like it. Guess what? It's stained. It looks terrible. But it had to do with the Olympics or sports, so I wore it up at camp. And up at camp, nobody cares what you wear. So it's fits the rules. Well, it's stained. I can't wash it out. I've tried. I've soaked it. I've done whatever I could to get it on a nice white shirt out. Guess what? It's not going to happen. If I can get away with it, I'll wear it around the house. That's until Dawn gets rid of it. But maybe I can make a deal with her and ask her for a new one before she gets rid of this one. But God, there's no stains left. All unrighteousness perfectly clean. You don't have the stain of guilt. Revel in the forgiveness that He gives. We come to chapter 2. says, My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. To walk in God's light, don't sin. That's easy to say. If we want to walk in fellowship with Him, if we want to grow in our relationship with God, we must stop sinning. Don't do it anymore. Say no. Learn from the TV ads. Just say no. Well, learn from the right TV ads. You could get just do it, but that's not what you should do. Just say no. When temptation comes, say no. When sin is on the edge, say no. Cain and Abel, God says to Cain, sin is at the door. And Cain should have said no to sin. Instead, he opened the door and let him in. Say no. John writes, he says, I don't want you to sin. That's a high mark, isn't it? So starting exactly right now, about 1 minute before 7 o'clock, you are not going to sin. Got it? No more. It's impossible, isn't it? And if anyone sins, don't worry. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the satisfaction of God's wrath for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. The blood of Jesus Christ is not just enough to fill our cup, but everybody's cup. So you don't have to worry, will the forgiveness, will the shed blood of Jesus Christ, will its cleansing power, not the physical blood itself, but the wrath of God poured out on Jesus, for it's by the shedding of His blood that our sins are forgiven, is there enough blood there to cover, or can I go beyond that? No, it's enough even for the whole world. What a precious promise in witnessing that Jesus Christ's death on the cross and resurrection is enough even for a wicked sinner like you. You might tell your neighbor who then will slam the door at your face. But they need to know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but I'm a pretty bad person. You ever heard of the man named Saul in the Bible? He killed people for this stuff. And yet, what did God choose to do? If this man who proclaimed himself the worst, the chief of all sinners, what can he do for you? We need to know that John, 1 John 1:9 is not a trump card. I don't want you to get in your mind that, okay, I have this card in my hand, that no matter what, I can always play that. So, at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, I'm going to run home and I'm going to sin. Probably on my way home as I speed. Maybe as I commit murder, as I run somebody over. Or, you know, you get extra points if you use a door and hit them and get them that way. And then when I get home, I turn junk on TV. I'm going to say a bunch of swear words. And it's okay. Because all I got to do is tell God I'm sorry. That's a hard heart. That's a spiritually proud heart. At the same time, know that when you do sin, you have an advocate. John tells us here that we need to walk in fellowship with God. To be in the light as He is in the light. And when we walk in fellowship with God, It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses all our sin. For we will sin. Oh, don't say you're not going to sin. Anyone who says that they have not sinned, they make God out to be a liar. They're not just lying to themselves and everybody else. They're telling God he doesn't know what he's talking about to make him to be a liar. And so his word certainly is not in them. Whether they're unsaved or they're saved, but aren't taking heed to God's word. But when you do sin, if you confess your sins, he's faithful. He's just. And he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Jesus Christ, who himself became the one who satisfied God's righteous, just anger and wrath upon sin, upon you. He is our advocate. And not only ours, but such salvation, such forgiveness is available to all the world. May we live walking in his light. And may we be able to take his message of forgiveness to everyone around us. For it's not just for us, but each one, anywhere around the world, who will take God's word for what it says and seek his forgiveness. Father, I thank you so much that we can always have restored fellowship with you. It is never broken or busted in such a way that we cannot. If we just humble ourselves and bring ourselves to confess before you, admit we're wrong, and ask your forgiveness, I thank you that every time you have the authority and you are the one that will indeed forgive us because of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask now that you would help us that we might live as one striving to make our hearts right before you. And as we do, we don't walk around guilty, feeling guilty, but knowing that we've been forgiven, rejoice. Thank you for the cleansing blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all our sins. We thank you for your grace by which we are forgiven. Thank you, Father. We pray that you be glorified in our lives and in the lives in whom we share this with. In Jesus' name, amen.